I thought I walked into a funeral for a minute there. I thought I walked into a funeral for a minute there. We're singing Gracefully Broken. Your power and your work in me. Come on, what has God done in your life? Your power and your work in me. I'm broken gracefully. I'm strong when I am weak. How many people in this room, if you are honest, were weak this week? Come on.
Amen.
Come on. So when we're declaring I'm strong, when I am weak, it's God who is perfected in my life. I can't do it without him. We've been singing about I can't do without it. You're our air. You're the breath that I breathe. And then we la, 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 la. Come on. Come on. Come on. God's got a work for you. He's got a purpose and a plan in your life. And as you prophesy, you know, I blew it this week. We all did. If we're honest, we all did. But when I step in to the power of God in my life, when we step into the truth of God, we're not deserving. It doesn't matter what we do, how much we work, how many checks we put in the box at church. It has nothing to do with it. How good we sing or what we play. It's a heart. It's a heart. And our righteousness is as filthy rags. But when we stand before a holy God, yeah, and we declare, God, I need you. Your presence is heaven to me. He changes us. He forgives us. He erases the weak. And he says, in your weakness, I'm made perfect. Yeah. In your weakness, I'm made perfect. You say, God, I need your help. God, I need your strength. God, I need your anointing. Come on. He floods down. He fills you and gives you the strength you need to be strong. There's a dying world out there that doesn't need wimpy Christians. We need people who will prophesy in the midst of the storm. Not minister this way, this way. Our God reigns. Of Jesus lifted high. The name of Jesus lifted high. When you begin to declare God's goodness, when you begin to declare how great he is, the demons have to go. They have to flee. They have to leave your family and your life. As you do not, I worship you more. I worship you more. No, he already knows you're worshiping. When you lift up the name of Jesus, when you lift up the name of Jesus, the name of Jesus lifted high. Jesus lifted high. The name of Jesus lifted high. The name of Jesus lifted high. Come on, we're gonna shake this stuff out. Get it out of here. Get it out in the name of Jesus. Come on. Come on. Every demon, every oppression has to go. Every depression, every sickness, every addiction has to go. In the name of Jesus
is lifted.
Come on.
Sons and daughters will prophesy.
other name but the name of Jesus. No 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 other name but the name of Jesus. Name of Jesus is lifted high. Lifted high. Lifted high. The name of Jesus is lifted high. In this place. No other name. No other name but the name of Jesus. 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 The name of Jesus is lifted high. Lifted high. Lifted high. The name of Jesus is lifted high in this place. No other name but the name of Jesus. 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 Jesus, Jesus, Jesus is in this place. Jesus, 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 Jesus is in this place. Oh, Jesus, 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 Jesus is in this place. Jesus. Jesus, deliverer.
Jesus,
provider.
Jesus,
salvation.
Jesus,
redeemer.
Jesus,
healer.
Jesus,
restorer.
Jesus,
healer.
Jesus,
provider.
Jesus,
miracle worker.
Jesus,
nothing is impossible.
Jesus.
Hallelujah. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. He's the name above all names. He's the name, the only name. Power and authority, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, worship team. Thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I've been speaking to you on the book of Acts, specifically in chapter 2. About the day of Pentecost, and when they were in one accord, one mind, one heart, lifting up the name of Jesus. Could you imagine that? Not singing about how we're going to worship you, but the name of Jesus. One accord. Can you imagine? You know, the only name that has power is Jesus. I can sing about worship, but when I talk about Jesus, oh, demons got to go. They got to go. You just get in someone and say, Jesus, I love Jesus. And they start, Somebody knock on your door and wants to preach to you or give you one of those watchtower things. Do you know Jesus? Let me introduce you to Jesus. Thank you very much. Mark that address off. Don't go there again. Come on. The name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. No other name but the name of Jesus. That's what the Holy Spirit came to do, is empower us to sing about, to talk about Jesus, not to talk about our problems. One of the songs that I absolutely, absolutely, you want to see me frown? Sing, I'm trading my sorrows. Sing it. Yes, Lord, yes. I don't want to trade any sorrows. I want to declare the goodness of God in the land of the living. I didn't come here to sing about my woes. I came here to give God the glory. Amen? Amen. We came here today to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We didn't come here to get our souls blessed. We came here to bless God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We got to just shake that religious junk off. We don't need to look like the world. We don't need to sound like the world. And we don't need to record or be like the world. We don't need to sing things that are popular. We need to sing things that bring God's anointing that He's pleased with. Hallelujah. 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 Jesus, I don't want to be the same. I want to be transformed from glory to glory to glory to glory. And we're changed in His presence. The enemy doesn't want you to stay in His presence. He doesn't want you to be in His presence because that's where you're changed. That's why when you go and you're like, ooh, that feels good. And two days later, you're cussing like a sailor. Because nothing really happened. It was just an emotional experience. There wasn't a transformation in the heart. See, we can sing, change my heart, oh God. It sounds good. It looks like you really change your heart. But when the rubber meets the road and you get an opportunity, that's when we see if you had a heart change. My pastor used to say, if you fall down on the floor under the power of the Holy Ghost and you get up the same way you fell down, I have to question whether or not it was ever the Lord. If you don't change after you say God's touched you, come on, the Holy Spirit came in power. We don't have to ask for power. We already have it because He came. Why did He come? Because Jesus died on the cross. He rose from the dead and He resurrected. And He said right before He died, into my spirit, into my hands I commit your what? My spirit. My holy, my ruach, the wind, the breath of God. I release it. To what? To us. To us, tag team, you're in. I gotta go. So the Holy Spirit will be with you to comfort you and to guide you into all truth. So turn with me to Acts in chapter 3. The title to my message is, This is How We Do It. Now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, 3:00. It's going to be very, I want you to just remember ninth hour, 3:00. That's going to be significant in just a minute. And the men who had been unable to walk from birth was being carried along, whom they used to set down every day at the gate of the temple called Beautiful. Now, as I was pondering this and studying this, I kept reading this over and over again. And they brought this man to the temple gate called Beautiful, and they would lay him down there on his mat so he could beg for alms from those entering the temple. And I saw in my mind, I'm trying to get into this message, and I'm thinking about this as they bring this man and they lay him down in front of this gate where people pass by all the time. And I started to think about the Good Samaritan. I thought about how many people walked into the temple. How many people walked by this man? Nothing had changed. Jesus went into the temple before this. A man was healed at the pool in the temple. Why not this man? So he's sitting there, and he's there to beg for alms. And so Peter saw John. Saw, they're walking together, and they see this man. They don't just see this man, they see this man. And they're about to go into the temple. This is what it says. So when he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, the man, he began to ask for coins. But Peter, along with John, stared at him intently and said, "Look at us." And the man began to pay attention to them, eagerly expecting to receive something from them. We know this story. But Peter says, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I have, I give to you." I want to just stop there because I want to ask a couple of questions. So here is Peter and John, and they see this man, and this man sees him, and he's expecting something from him, and he says, "Look at us." Now, why on earth is Peter asking this man to look at him? Because when they're poor, they look down. Okay. That's literal. Okay, I could see that happening. So he says, "Look at me. Look at us. Look at us. Look at us." Ever talk to somebody and you're about to minister to them, or you begin to minister to them, and you're looking in their face and you're talking to them and they're looking back at you, and their response is, "I can't. You don't know. You don't understand what's been going on. It's been really difficult. It's really hard. I'm in a lot of pain." This man looked at him. He looked at Peter and John and expected something. Peter and John says, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I have, I give to you." What did they have? What did they have that was way more valuable than silver and gold? I'll tell you one, they had faith. They had faith. "He's not a baby in a manger anymore." I could just see what's happening on the inside of these two apostles. They trusted in God. "He's not a broken man on the cross. He didn't stay in the grave." Come on! He didn't stay in the grave. Come on. He didn't stay in the grave, and he's not staying in heaven forever because he sent us the Holy Spirit. And here I am, and I'm standing in front of you. And Peter and John say, "Look at me." And they look at him, and this man looks, and they look into his eyes, and they see he's expected. They see that he's got faith. He doesn't begin to say, they see faith in him. And they say, "Silver and gold, don't expect what you think you've always gotten, because you're not going to get the same thing this time. This time what I have for you is far better than silver or gold. What I have, I give to you in the name, in the power, in the anointing of Jesus." Yeah. Stand up and walk. And he grabs the man's hand and lifts him up and helps him out. Amen. The power of the resurrection, the Holy Spirit upon the believers. They saw a need. This is the same Peter that had his eyes on Jesus and said, "If it's you, Lord, command me out of the boat to walk." And as long as he kept his eyes on the Lord, what happened? He walked on water. The minute he began to look at his own humanity, he began to sink. Keep your eyes. Keep your eyes. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Come on, look at me. I need to see if there's some faith in there. When I was in Mexico, you've heard this story, but when I was in Mexico with Janet, it was in the middle of the afternoon, and she was asleep, and this woman came with a sick child. She came with a sick child expecting this baby to be healed of a flu, and whatever else this baby had, it was burning up with a fever. And she came, and the baby's just screaming, crying, and Janet's sleeping, and I'm sitting on the front porch going, "Oh my God, this baby has to shut up. Janet is sleeping. I don't want her to wake up." All I'm thinking about is my leader being woken up in the middle of the day when she has to minister tonight, because we had gotten up very early in the morning. In the afternoons are siesta. Everybody naps or they do their work as students down the campus. So here I am, and this woman is expecting a healing. Now I know the word of God But her faith, she comes with this sick baby and she puts this baby in my hands, and this baby was like a furnace burning up, burning up, burning up. And I just begin to say, God, in the name of Jesus, I don't know anything else. In the name of Jesus, heal this baby. I'm really in my mind thinking, just heal this baby to shut this baby up. Heal this baby. Heal this baby. And all of a sudden, would you believe that God answered? Power of God hits this baby, and I could feel the heat leave the baby's head down the body and out the toes, and the baby came, temperature became as normal could be. And as I went to hand the baby back to the mother, one tear dripped down and the baby was fine, silent, completely healed, completely healed. And I was like, I talked about that story in seminary because I was blown away, because I was like, I don't know about my faith, but God did it. And it wasn't my faith, it was the mother's faith. She came expecting something. Amen. This man that was begging came expecting something. People are expecting something from us. We have the answers. They look at us, and when we just join them in moaning and complaining and agreeing with their sorrows, how is that the good gospel of Jesus Christ? How is that the power of the Holy Spirit? How is that releasing the light and the truth and the power of the gospel that God has given us to his redemptive son, Jesus Christ? Peter and John were just doing. They were just being who they were called to be. When you step in, my power pack's falling out. When you step in, there's no turning back. I'm in or I'm out. But if I'm going for it, I'm going for it with everything. I'm not going to. No, 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 no. That God doesn't want. Faith sees. Faith declares. Faith says, I know what you're going through. I might not know it completely. I understand that you're going through a difficult time, but I'm not going to speak to your soul right now. I'm going to speak to your spirit. Rise up. Rise up, woman of God. Rise up, man of God. You're stronger than this. You're better than this. You contain the answers. You contain the power to change your situation. In the name of Jesus. Now let's continue on. In Acts 10, 38, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went about doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. Jesus said, I have to go. So the Holy Spirit, who's empowered me to go about doing good and healing all, will be with you, and you will do greater works than I, because I go to the Father. This equipping of the power of the Holy Spirit is to unleash the power of God in our lives on people that it just, they're blown away. That God loves them so much. They saw the need. They saw the faith. And they spoke in the name of Jesus with the authority and the power of the Holy Spirit. And the evidence was he was healed. Sometimes we'll see manifestations of healing instantly. There's other times I've prayed for people and I've prayed for people and I've prayed for people. The very next day, word got out from that night. And the very next day, another woman in the same village sought me out with her sick baby. Guess what? This time I had faith. My faith mixed with her faith. It's like, God, if you can heal one baby, you can heal two. Baby number two gets healed. In a remote village in the middle of nowhere. No penicillin. No trips to the hospital. No shots. The power of God. And here this is the power of God. You've got to understand what boldness it took for these disciples. Just before it, they had crucified and killed Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the same one who they taunted on the cross. If you are the Son of God, get off the cross and save yourself. Now here the disciples go to Jerusalem. They are endued with power, and now they're proclaiming it, the same name of the man who was crucified. Could have easily been like, are you nuts? But there was faith. There was faith. And not only did this faith was demonstrated amongst John and Peter, but everybody else around him saw it. All the people around them saw it, and they began to gather. That's what the Word of God says here in the book of Acts in chapter 3, that they began to gather around the temple. Now, please understand this. This is around 3 o'clock. This is around when they would normally come, and they would offer up sacrifices of incense. At 3 o'clock, this is when the lamb was slain. This is when the incense of the altar arose to God. This is the same 3 o'clock. This is the same time when Jesus died and the veil was torn in two. And the temple. Come on. This power being unleashed in the earth. And the word says, they were filled with wonder and amazement, and they were mystified at what had happened to him. Verse 11, and now while he was still holding on to Peter and John, all the people were utterly amazed, and they ran together and crowded around them at the covered porch called Solomon's portico. And Peter, seeing this, again, he's seeing this, and all of a sudden, all these flashing lights and ding, 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 ding. Pay attention, pay attention, pay attention. Here comes an opportunity, because now through this miracle of God, all these other people have gathered around. 85% of ministry is paying attention. It's seeing, it's seeing, it's seeing. It's letting people talk, hearing their need, and then responding in prayer with silver and gold I don't have, but I'm standing in front of you, and as long as I am, I have an opportunity, and I'm taking it to release the power of God through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Opportunity. And Peter says to the crowd, why are you amazed, my fellow Israelites? Why are you staring at me and my friend as though this miracle had happened through our own power? Don't look to us. Says, or made this fellow walk by our own holiness. I love this. Because it ministers to us. Sometimes we think we've got to be holier than thou. We've got to have this religious thing about us to go about doing good in the earth. We just need to be Jesus with flesh on. Just love people right where we are, right where they are. We didn't do this. I love it. God did. This is the same God, verse 15, by the way. You rejected. And your scribes and your priests rejected. Not only did you reject them, but you beat them and you killed them. But that wasn't God's final answer. He rose from the dead. And he's alive. And he goes on and he says, repent. I know that you didn't fully understand what you were doing. But God was at work in this, fulfilling what he had prophesied through the prophets about the Almighty One who would suffer. You see, we go through things sometimes and we don't understand our suffering is never just about us. It's for somebody else. We go through things and say, God, why did I do that? I thought I was beyond this. I thought it was more mature than this. And the Lord, it's not about that. It's about sometimes you got to go through things and trust the Lord in the process because he's using you. How can you be real? How can you meet people where you are if you've never experienced anything? Now, that doesn't give you a carte blanche sin card. Okay? I need to try this to know. No. I'm just saying that God knows what's right in your life to make the perfect ingredients for the fragrance of God to be released in your heart and in your life to people. That incense comes, aroma of God comes. See, we're not called for one people. Okay, we're going to follow you. No, what are you supposed to be pouring out? What are you supposed to be doing? We pour together. Our fragrances mixed together in a sweet aroma of the presence of the Lord. Peter says, repent and turn in verse 19 and turn to God so your sins may be forgiven. I'm not going to leave you in this state. You saw something. God brought you to this place to minister that your eyes would see, but now your heart will know that the things that God has in store for you are so much greater than what you're settling for right now. You don't need to be religious. You need to have a relationship with you. And I want to invest in your life by sharing the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. I'm not here to judge anybody. I'm here to bring sons and daughters into the kingdom of God. That's what he's saying. Repent and turn. A new day is dawning in times of refreshing. God wants to refresh and restore and renew his people. How many people know somebody, I mean close to you, right around you, that needs refreshing, that needs restoring, that needs renewing? Not going to get there with their own head counseling. Not going to get there with just talking to them and meeting them for coffee or meeting them for lunch or going to a movie with them. That's great if you want to be a friend. That's just friendship. But the truth sets you free. And the boldness of the Holy Spirit will come upon you if you'll release God's truth and love. That doesn't mean you smack them upside the head. It means you love them where they are and you speak truth about that situation. Hold on. Trust God. He loves you. He's never going to leave you. There's a purpose and a plan for what you're going through. You got to see the bigger picture. God's about big picture. But he's detailed in every single thing that we do. I want to close with this. In verse 20, it says, then God may send Jesus. Repent so that God will send Jesus, the anointed whom God has chosen for you. Not just for me personally, for you. Do you understand everybody that you know? God has chosen the Holy Spirit. He's chosen Jesus to come into their lives and rearrange them and restore them and redeem them and then to give them power to go out and be a witness in their sphere of influence, to be a witness. He is in heaven now and must remain until the day of universal restoration. It's your turn. God's investment is us. He equipped us with the Holy Spirit. He deposited, are you hearing me? He deposited the Holy Spirit into our lives so that we would go out. The greatest investment that we could ever make are the lives of people. Investing in them, calling those things which are not as though they were, speaking the truth, calling forth their calling, calling forth their life, calling forth purpose, calling forth their true identity in Jesus, saying, oh, no, you're just living above the snake line. Get up higher. See, from God's perspective, that's not the truth. That's not the whole truth. That's a partial truth, but that's not the whole truth. This is the whole truth. Jesus died for you that you would live in an abundant life for him. Is your life abundant? Are you thriving? Are you excited about Jesus? Do you come to church expecting? Do you get around people expecting God to move? Do you get around people expecting God to create an opportunity for you to invest in them? That's what Jesus did. The disciples were kind of positioning for who was going to be great. And Jesus said, the one who will serve, the one who will invest and invest and invest and invest. All I need is a little. God, because when I invested in you and it begins to grow, then they invest it in somebody else and then they tell two friends and so on and so on. And we know how that works. And before you know it, this little bit becomes all of this. As we invest in the kingdom of God through lives, Jesus wasn't worried about building a church building. He was worried about investing in his church, us. We are the church. Wherever we go, we bring God's presence. So we can invest wherever we go. This is how we do it. Amen? Father, I thank you for your word this morning. Lord, that we will never be satisfied with just not taking any risks, not opening up our mouths. That we'll never be satisfied with status quo when we begin to say, why aren't things happening in my life? What are we doing to invest? I was in a church in St. Petersburg where Marilyn Hickey was. And I went to see her because I've always been fascinated with her. She knows 3/4 of the Bible by memory. And I'm like, I want what she has. And I remember her saying this, and it's stuck with me through life. And it was this: make something happen in someone else's life, and God will always make it happen in yours. So we don't have to worry about, God, do you know what I need? He knows our thoughts and our needs before you ever ask him. Period. Let's just settle that. But what he's after is that we invest, that we advance the kingdom of God in our lives and the lives of others. Lord, help me to put a deposit in my children today. Help me to put a deposit in my grandchildren today. Help me, Lord, to put a deposit in my neighbor's life today. Help me, Lord, to be investing and investing and investing, because as we plant seeds, come on, somebody else goes around and waters them. And then others come around and reap a harvest. But we gotta sow, we gotta sow, we gotta sow. And we're able to do that through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.